Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls and NBA thoughts, questions, and comments for our weekly mailbag segments. Today's show is brought to you by Rock Auto. RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Well, Matt Peck here holding down a solo episode today while Jordan is at 670 the score. I wanted to touch on a few different things on today's episode. First, the latest updates with the NBA and its plans to continue its season down at Walt Disney World. Some new details about what will be available to the players. Some additional guidelines and steps of security that will be taken as far as trying to prevent the spread of COVID in this bubble. And exactly what will happen there. An interesting tidbit about a hotline for tips of people who are breaking these bubble rules. Also wanted to touch on a poll that made its way around Bulls Twitter yesterday from our buddy David Kaplan, who hosts a show on ESPN 1000, also does a lot of work as one of my colleagues at NBC Sports Chicago, about former Bulls coach Tom Thibodeau, whose name is getting a lot of mentions around the NBA right now, and some potential expected coaching vacancies around the league, and whether or not Bulls fans would welcome back a return of Tom Thibodeau. And then on the subject of NBA head coaches and the next Bulls head coach, an interesting question posed to us from that mailbag text line about a name that was brought up in our conversation with Mark Schanowski yesterday, which, by the way, if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to our interview with Mark Schanowski on our Tuesday episode, highly recommend it. We had a great time catching up with Mark, talking about a lot of different topics, the NBA returning to play, his experience doing color commentary with the Windy City Bulls this season, and some of his thoughts on the future of the Bulls coaching search, the front office, and some of these young pieces of the core and where the Bulls rebuild is going to go. Great conversation with Mark. Thanks to him again for coming on the show. So we got a few more details yesterday, as I said, about the plan for the NBA to return to action down in Florida in just a few weeks' time now. We're talking about some scrimmages happening in mid-July and then actual regular season games between these bubble teams starting in the back end of July, which is not all that far away now. And it seems like with each day that we get closer to the NBA's scheduled return to play, there are more hoops to jump through, more roadblocks, more things that are getting in the way. We talked a little bit about some of the players voicing concerns recently with our conversation with Mark yesterday about not just the risks that are inherent in doing this with the pandemic that's still going on, which, by the way, the state of Florida is one of the worst right now in seeing spikes in those positive tests of COVID-19, but also the social and racial injustice and unrest and protests that are going on across the country right now, and some NBA players feeling like perhaps there are bigger, more pressing issues to worry about right now than finishing this NBA season. But the NBA keeps rolling out one by one these specific details about the plans. And we got some more yesterday as far as where these specific teams will be put up in the hotels within that bubble. And it looks like they basically picked four different hotels and will group teams in those hotels together based on seating, which generated a lot of pretty funny responses from NBA players who heard that news. But I think the funniest news from yesterday when it comes to how they are trying to make this a safe continuation of the season and make this as safe as possible, not just for the players and coaches, but for everybody inside this bubble that will need to, you know, stay in this bubble to make the season continue while also preventing the spread of COVID-19, is that there, this is a tweet from Shams Charania, who said, per me and Sam Amick, the NBA will create an anonymous hotline to report potential violations of protocols in Orlando. So basically, they're going to have like a NARC hotline that players can call, or I'm guessing anybody within the bubble, if they see other members of the bubble breaking bubble protocol. If they see players or they see anybody being where they're not supposed to be or doing things they're not supposed to do, there's like an anonymous tip hotline that they're going to have where essentially people in the NBA bubble can narc on each other, which generated all kinds of hilarious reactions on Twitter from NBA players themselves and NBA Twitter fans, thinking about who would be the most likely parties to be phoning in, anonymous tips about players breaking protocol. A couple of names that came up most frequently, of course, CP3 is the one that a lot of people were saying, oh, CP3 would totally be that narc who would tattle on his fellow NBA players on other teams to try and give himself and his Oklahoma City Thunder a leg up in these playoffs, because that is such a Chris Paul thing to do. Unfortunately, despite people wondering maybe if this pause were long enough, a return of Kevin Durant might happen. It seems like the Brooklyn Nets and KD himself pretty much shut that down entirely about a week ago, saying, nah, we're not putting KD back in there, even though Brooklyn's playoff bound. But of course, with KD's burner history, there's always plenty of people saying, oh, of course KD would do that kind of thing. And I saw some, too, about either Kawhi tattling on LeBron or LeBron tattling on Kawhi, as NBA fans are hoping for this epic LA versus LA showdown in the Western Conference Finals between the Clippers and the Lakers, two of the odds-on favorites to win the title should the NBA playoffs actually happen here in a couple of months. So it's interesting that we keep getting these really, specific details about this unprecedented attempt to continue an NBA season during a pandemic. And all the while, there are pressing matters at hand that seems like the league's coming up with all these different solutions. But with each solution or with each decision, they come to 8 or 10 or 12 new problems present themselves. So we'll see. I'm still hoping that we can make this happen. That it happens safely for everybody involved, but man, it just seems like a mounting pile of questions that are yet to be answered. But hey, at least we're going to have a NARC hotline. That could present some pretty interesting storylines if the NBA season is to resume. Before we get to our conversation about a couple of different head coaches that might be coming back to the NBA, I want to tell our listeners about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Okay, with that, I mentioned at the top of the show a poll that was put up by our buddy David Kaplan on his Twitter account yesterday. It reads as follows. If the Chicago Bulls rehired Tom Thibodeau as their new head coach, would you grade it thumbs up or thumbs down? Pretty simple poll. Thumbs up, thumbs down. So as I'm recording this now on about midday Wednesday, there are still 5 hours and change left to vote. So if you haven't cast your vote on this, go find this poll on Cap's Twitter feed and vote yes or no. Thumbs up or thumbs down. But through the 3/4 or so of this 24-hour poll so far, and 13,700-plus votes. Right now, it is 67% thumbs up to 33% thumbs down. When I first looked at this poll yesterday, and it only had, I think, maybe a couple thousand responses, or a couple thousand votes, I should say, I believe I saw it at 69% to 31%. So it has come back down a little bit with a huge influx of voting. But that's still a pretty overwhelming majority of Bulls fans being in favor of the organization rehiring and bringing back our old friend Tom Thibodeau. Now, I know that Cap and Tibbs are good buddies. They're good friends who knew each other even going back to before Tom Thibodeau was hired as the Bulls head coach, and they have maintained that level of close friendship ever since. Tibbs is somebody who gives Cap time and gives Cap interviews for his various TV and radio shows. They're close. And I'm based on everything I've heard from Cap, I think he thinks it's a good idea. I think he's certainly at least open to the idea of the Bulls welcoming back Tom Thibodeau, who has also gotten a lot of buzz around the NBA for some potential big jobs, including one of the biggest market teams in the league, the New York Knicks, who have really struggled over the last decade or so, and a team that appears to be on the brink of ousting Mike D'Antoni, the Houston Rockets. And perhaps that the Rockets might also be interested in Tom Thibodeau's services. But while I do think that Tibbs is going to get another head coaching job, and it could be as soon as next season, this alarming majority of Bulls fans who voted thumbs up, it concerns me. And I'll tell you why. I think most of you who have listened to this podcast for a while or watch Outsiders or you know, follow me on Twitter, know that I am a big fan of Tibbs, and I look back on the Tibbs era very fondly. People who say he didn't deserve that Coach of the Year award in 10-11 when the Bulls made that 20-win jump, had the best seed in the Eastern Conference and went to the Eastern Conference Finals, say, oh, it was just the MVP Derrick Rose and the other talent on the floor that got them that far. And Tibbs gets too much credit for that. I think my pal C. Red Fred uses that narrative quite often. I think that's ridiculous. I think Tibbs absolutely earned those Coach of the Year honors. And I think that even beyond that Eastern Conference Finals appearance season, once the injuries started happening, and I don't want to get into the are the injuries Tibbs' fault or not argument right now. That's a different discussion. Tibbs continued to get the best out of mediocre pieces when he was missing his most talented pieces. The Bulls, as they were constructed, had no business getting into even the second round of the playoffs in 2013 when they beat Brooklyn in that seven-game series. The Bulls had no business even being a 500 or better basketball team in several of those seasons when Derrick Rose was out. and they were cobbling together these rosters where Tibbs was getting the best out of names like John Lucas III, DJ Augustine, Nate Robinson, these role player journeyman point guards, most of whom were undersized and not the most skilled players in the world, making ends meet. And as Tibbs always said, you know, we got more than enough to win. I give Tibbs a lot of credit for getting the most out of what he had. I think it's even more impressive when you compare it to, say, what Bulls fans have just recently had to endure in the Jim Boylan era, where you look at the talent on paper and say, and this is something that the new head of basketball ops, Arturis Karnišovas, has even said recently, we have more talent on this roster than the number of wins this team had to finish their shortened season. There's some kind of disconnect there. They are too talented to have been that bad. So when you compare those two scenarios, I think Tibbs got the most out of not all that much talent in a lot of his seasons when he was head coach here in Chicago. Jim Boylan got less than the sum of the talent that he had to work with. That's the sign of a good coach and the sign of a bad coach right there. You may say that that's an oversimplification. I don't think so. I think that's pretty clear. All that said, I love Tibbs. Do not think it's a good idea for the Bulls to bring him back. And much like myself, and I think a lot of the fan base is excited about finally getting some new voices in the front office and finally moving past the Garpax era, what would it accomplish to go back to an old coach who, yes, the pieces are different now. It's not like he would be coming back and asked to coach the same players who probably got a little bit sick of Tibbs' voice and Tibbs' harsh demeanor and coaching style. It's a fresh crop. So maybe Tibbs' voice would be fresh once again. But even still, it signifies moving backwards instead of forwards to me. And some would say that the NBA has grown past Tibbs and what he did to be successful, at least moderately so, and in regular season wins kind of success, that he's not capable of doing that anymore, and point to his short and unsuccessful stint in Minnesota and saying, well, you know, look at all the talent he had over there. He had Towns, he had Wiggins, he had that crew, and he managed, you know, one playoff appearance where they got ousted in the first round. I would say a couple of things to that. One, Tibbs took on a job that nobody has really seemed to have a whole lot of success doing, except for maybe to some varying degree of success, Doc Rivers, in the head coach slash head of basketball ops job. To me, that always seemed like a ridiculous job title that carries with it far too many responsibilities to actually exceed, to excel in the job. And perhaps we overestimated just how talented those Minnesota rosters were that Tibbs was trying to win with. They don't seem to be doing all that better without him. So, that being said, I think Tibbs could still be a successful head coach in today's NBA. And he's not an idiot. The guy watches more NBA tape than probably anybody on the planet. He has no life. He has, you know, no wife, no kids, no family. Basketball is his family. Basketball is his life. He is a junkie. So do you think that he's just watched the league change over the last 5 or 6 years with this crazy emphasis of three-point shooting, spacing the floor, non-positional basketball, small ball, all that stuff, and just ignore that as a reality? What, because he's stubborn and he's Tibbs? Do you think he's looked at the way that people have started to handle load management with their players, especially their superstar level players, to save them for playoff runs and just ignore that because of his Tibbsness and his stubbornness? No. The man is a basketball savant. He's not an idiot. He could and would likely, in my opinion, make the proper adjustments to alter his coaching styles just a little bit while still using the same structure of his basketball mind that made him as successful as he was in Chicago. But he can adapt, and he likely will adapt when given his next head coaching opportunity. So it's not like I don't have faith in Tibbs as a coach in the sense that, oh, the league has passed him by and he won't adjust. And that's why I am against the idea. No, I'm against the idea because it's just reverting back to something old. It's not moving forward. It's moving backward. In a somewhat similar way, it's the same issue I have with Bulls fans who are obsessed with this idea of bringing Derrick Rose back. Loved the D. Rose Tibbs years. They were a lot of fun. Since the dynasty of the 90s broke up, it was the most winning that we've had. Didn't quite get it done, didn't quite get that chip, but it was the best of these mediocre to awful times that we've endured over the last 20 years after the dynasty ended. You wouldn't be moving forward bringing back Rose or bringing back Tibbs. You'd be moving backward. There's another issue with a potential Tibbs reunion that I think Bulls fans can often forget. But before that, wanted to share a word from us folks at the Locked On Podcast Network. The Locked On Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Locked On is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your donation along with us, please visit lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bars are tasty. They're protein bars that taste like candy bars. 16 amazing different flavors, 8 chocolate flavors with nuts, 8 chocolate flavors that are nut-free Built Bars for those of you out there who might have nut allergies. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guys and gals out there. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in these delicious treats. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high-fiber. A couple of my favorite flavors, you got peanut butter brownie and the mint brownie. I'm a sucker for a mint chocolate combo. 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, that's it. 4 grams of sugar and 5 grams net carbs in that mint brownie flavor. I like those numbers. I'm no mathematician, but that looks like plenty of the good stuff and not too much of the bad stuff. I'm not a big breakfast guy. I don't like, other than maybe the weekends when I'll do my fried eggs and bacon, I don't really like doing breakfast on a busy weekday morning. So I'm always looking for those quick, easy, on-the-go kind of breakfasts. Even when I'm working from home, I like an on-the-go kind of breakfast just because they're easy. Built Bars are right up my alley in that case. So if you're not a big breakfast person but you want to get that energy boost to start your day and do it while eating something delicious, highly recommend Built Bars. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And here's the other element to me that I think a lot of Bulls fans are just completely glossing over when they consider this idea of bringing Tibbs back. Yes, there is a new voice and new voices in the front office. Yes, Gar Forman, who obviously created a lot of that friction with Tibbs, is gone. The GM who put moles on Tibbs' staff and at Tibbs' practices has been ousted finally, thank God. Yes, John Paxson has been stuffed in a cabinet and is only asked his opinion or only gives his opinion when it is asked of him. And any friction that existed between Tom Thibodeau and John Paxson perhaps could be smoothed over, knowing that Paxson is stuffed in that closet right now. But here is the real issue to me. What do we know, other than Tibbs being a guy who's always taken the high road when asked about his tenure with the Bulls and how it ended, would lead us to believe that the relationship between Tom Thibodeau and the Reinsdorfs has been repaired? Because let's not forget, when the Bulls fired Tibbs and brought in Fred Hoiberg, that statement that was issued by Jerry Reinsdorf giving his reasons for the move basically dragged Tibbs, kicked him in the ass on his way out of Chicago, and threw him under the bus and blamed the Bulls' shortcomings entirely on him and said the problems with communication that would be solved with Fred Hoiberg, the great communicator, which turned out to, of course, be a load of shit, were Tibbs' fault. Jerry stood behind his front office and blamed Tibbs for all of the communication problems and all the trust issues that started to permeate through the organization. Tibbs took the high road, but do we think Tibbs forgot that? And guess what? Gar may be gone and John may be in a closet, but the Reinsdorfs still own this team. If I'm Tom Thibodeau and I was approached by, even if it was AK or, and or Eversley, who were the ones calling Tibbs to say, hey, Tibbs, I know you probably are getting interest from a few different teams right now. We'd love to sit down and at least talk about the idea of bringing you back. And I'm just saying, this is a complete hypothetical. I haven't even heard anything like this being reality. Hypothetically, if that were to happen. If I'm Tibbs, I'm laughing. I'm doing the classic Tibbs chuckle gif and hanging up my phone. And look, it's not like taking the Knicks job is all that much more glorious of a job other than the city you get to live in and that being a big market team, because that organization's a dumpster fire right now. But if any of these other decent and reputable organizations are interested in giving Tibbs the job, why would he put himself through coming back to Chicago? I suppose he could just be the bigger man and, you know, rebuild that bridge that Jerry Reinsdorf torched as he kicked Tibbs out of town. But if I'm Tibbs, I'm thinking, thanks but no thanks. Why put myself through that again? It's just like something else we were considering when we were talking with Mark Chinowski yesterday, that Jordan brought up, which is this comment we heard from recently, Rick Carlisle, who has tremendous respect across this league and its head coaches, who said, yeah, I tell anybody who comes to me and maybe brings up that organization, do not take the Bulls coaching job for reasons X, Y, and Z. And perhaps this new front office can, over time, repair the damage that's been done to that image and make that job not a one that people don't want, but a one that people do want. But I mean, that's something that we heard as recently as a week ago. One of the most respected head coaches in the league saying to other people, yeah, I tell people to stay away from the Bulls when it comes to coaches. It's not just a Tibbs and a personal grudge with the Reinsdorfs thing, although that's certainly a big part of it. It's a lot of people around the league right now are looking at the Bulls saying, do I want to go work for that organization? Do I want to go work for Jerry Reinsdorf? Look at the way that they have treated their coaches over the years. Last Dance documentary was a great reminder on that department. Phil Jackson, greatest coach in NBA history, arguably. Dude's got 11 rings coaching NBA teams. And they were like, nah, get out. So, yeah, if I'm Tibbs, I'm telling the Bulls, thanks, but y'all could politely go fuck yourselves. So that, like, this the results of this poll that Cap put up, I'm just sitting here thinking, I get the Bulls fans love the old days, and for a lot of the younger fan base, Tibbs is the old days, D Rose is the old days, and I do believe that Tibbs can still be a winning coach in the NBA, but stop living in the past, people. We finally have this new front office that's hopefully going to bring our organization back to competition and respectability. And I'm not trying to suggest that Tibbs would not equate to competition and respectability. I'm just saying, let's please keep moving forward instead of in purgatory or backward. Please. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on the whole Tibbs thing. Not surprised by the poll in that a lot of Bulls fans loved Tibbs. Surprised just how strong of a split the poll had. 67% of Bulls fans in a poll with almost, as of right now, 14,000 votes support the organization bringing back Tom Thibodeau. To all of you people, I would say, quit living in the past. And root for Tibbs to get a good job somewhere else. Okay, before we get out of here for the day, on top of our Tibbs conversation and where the Bulls are going, in the quest to find the answer for the right person in that head coach's chair, as we all expect Jim Boylan to be on the outs and on the hottest of seats right now. We got one text in that I thought was interesting. The 217 asks us, "Hey guys, love the episode with Schanowski, but I have a question. He said that hiring Kenny Atkinson doesn't just automatically add 10 wins to your season. It got me thinking. If Kenny Atkinson were the head coach this season, for the entire season, do you think that it's possible we actually do win 10 more games, assuming we play a full season? Remember how many easy ones we dropped. Does competent coaching move the needle on those?" Thanks for the question. Thanks for the text. And my answer here is pretty simple. Yes. Yes, competent coaching can move the needle that much. Obviously, talent drives winning in the NBA. Player talent. There's no debating that. It's a player-driven league. And you can have the most genius coach in the world, but if you give him nothing but scrubs, they're not going to be making any deep playoff runs. And this Bulls roster is young, other than a couple of the vets, you know, Thad Young, the most prominent. It's a young team, and it's a team of young pieces that are still trying to find their footing in the NBA, and teams that are comprised of rosters like that do not usually tend to win. But I tell you what, Jim Boylan certainly didn't help matters based on the eye test and the ear test and the all five senses test. He made things worse. That's right, all five senses. Some of the Bulls' losses were so bad I could taste them in my mouth, and they tasted fucking gross. Look, you look back to, as our texter said, you know, the easy ones we dropped. Remember when we were all looking at the Bulls' schedule out of the gate this season and thought, oh man, the Bulls could start like 5-0 or certainly 4-1. Look at that. Look at that great soft schedule to open the season, get ourselves out on the right foot. What happened? Do y'all remember? Pretty sure we beat the Memphis Grizzlies, and that's about it in that stretch of, you know, easy games to open the season. You know, we lost to Cleveland, coughing up a lead. You know, we lost to Orlando. We lost to bad teams. We lost to Charlotte somewhere in there. Look, it's not hard to say, and I don't think it's at all... you know, I don't think it's egregious to suggest the fact that whether it's Kenny Atkinson or any of the other 28 other coaches in the league that aren't named Jim Boylan, yeah, the Bulls have more wins. Now, as our texter said, expanding it, assuming they played a full 82-game season, is it fair to say the Bulls finished with 10 more wins than what they would have finished with? And so I'm assuming that also means, in that hypothetical, the Bulls win a few more games, assuming they finish the season, which they are not going to do, to build on their current record of, what did they finish the season at? 22-43, I want to say. That's right. 22-43. 21 games under 500, 22 wins. 17 games left on the schedule. But again, we all were kind of fearing that end of the schedule. And Bulls fans who were thinking, hey, we're still only 7.5 games out, we can make a run. You took one look at that schedule in the back end of March and in April, and you thought, oh, never mind. The Bulls had a 5-game West Coast road trip. They had just a gauntlet of playoff-bound teams in those final 17 games. So I looked at that 17-game schedule just like the last week, I think, and I counted up what I thought were winnable games in my head based on the roster we had available, the coach we had, what we had seen so far this season, and saw of those 17 games with those 17 opponents on deck, I gave the Bulls maybe 2 more wins. So you're talking about 24 wins instead of 22 if the Bulls finish out the season. Maybe you want to be generous and expand that to 26. Maybe you say, hey, a lot of those playoff-bound teams are resting guys. Maybe that gives the Bulls a couple more wins down the stretch. Fine. Even push it to 28 wins. Just based on, you know, just because. So you say they win 6 of their remaining 17 games, which I think is very generous to suggest. Then you're talking about a team that finishes with 28 wins at 82. Taking Jim Boylan out from the start this season and replacing him with Kenny Atkinson. Do the Bulls win 32 games? Do the Bulls win 34, 36, maybe even 38 games? I think it's certainly possible. But as far as the hypotheticals of the games that didn't happen, to me, that's just kind of like a weird experiment. I'd rather look at what we know happened because it's on tape, because it happened in reality. And how many times down the stretch this season, how many times were Jordan and I sitting on this podcast, or how many times was I sitting on the set of Outsiders with my guys Big Dave and John saying, Jim Boylan cost us this game. Jim Boylan's execution of X, Y, and Z down the stretch. Jim Boylan's rotation. Jim Boylan's lack of timeouts available. Jim Boylan's unnecessary calling of a timeout. Remember that OT loss to the Pacers? And I'll never forget, my buddy John said, like, he did like five things down the stretch of that game that caused us to lose the game. And if he only did four of those five things, the Bulls probably don't lose that game. Remember the Lakers game when he talked about having 15 guys to develop and he leaves his starters on the bench while the Lakers mount that furious fourth quarter comeback? There are so many examples of Jim Boylan shooting himself in the foot and shooting his players in their feet and costing the team wins. That, yes, I would suggest Kenny Atkinson, or, again, pick any coach in the NBA and say, coach your way through that fourth quarter. Coach your way through that third quarter. Make the proper halftime adjustments, and do the Bulls win this game where the Bulls have a big double-digit lead, or the Bulls have a substantial lead with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. All of those situations that we saw play out this season. And, yeah, you're not talking about the Bulls being a 22-win team. I think you can be talking about the Bulls being a 32-win team. Because that's kind of what I was hoping for. I was thinking low 30s, which to me would not have meant that they were going to be a playoff-bound team, that they would come a little shy of that. That was my expectation from the get-go this season. But it certainly seemed a little bit more reasonable to expect 30 to 32 wins. And yes, the Bulls did get, you know, cheated by 17 games, so it's not like they finished 22-60. But again, that schedule, maybe they don't finish 22-60. Maybe they finish 24-58. But that's still pretty darn awful compared to expectations. And yes, you know, Bulls players showed up small in various times this season, and young teams struggle to close. That's always been true. Jim Boylan did not help them win. He prevented them from winning in so many instances. Is it fair to say that they would have had 10 more wins this season if Kenny Atkinson is their head coach instead of Jim Boylan? It's not a guarantee, but I'd certainly say it's likely. There are so many examples that we saw happen and unfold right before our eyes. So thanks for that text. Thought it was interesting to kind of loop into our conversation about the Bulls head coaching situation as it stands right now. That's it for today on Locked On Bulls. Thanks again to our sponsors of both Built Bar and RockAuto.com. And again, just a reminder, if you want to join in with myself and all of the hosts across the Locked On Podcast Network with our donations and the network itself matching those donations up to $10,000, join us, make your donations, find out more at lockedonpodcasts.com/Black Lives Matter. For my co-host Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks as always for listening, Bulls Nation. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.